Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All You Need Radio. I am your host, John Hollywood, and welcome to tonight's show. Tonight we're going to talk about what's going on in Afghanistan and the sad state that the country sits in right now. And Joe Biden did an address to the nation stating that he will hunt the people down that took out 14 American soldiers in Afghanistan during a bomb at Kabul Airport as we try to successfully evacuate people. All You Need to Know Radio is going to give you real numbers about the evacuees. It's pretty outrageous and outstanding of our military. Those 14 people will not die in vain as the president promises to hunt down and kill them where they stand. Also, we're going to talk about COVID-19 is spreading like wildfire, taking the lives of our kids. We have got to do something about it, and you must get vaccinated. Also, we're going to talk about Madonna. Madonna tried to hold a letter out for 20 years with her relationship with a rapper. Even though at his demise, he's still very, very popular. Is that enough for you? Well, we've got more. If it's not, Porn King Jeremy, I believe Reiner is his name. And anyway, he was arrested on 14 counts of sexual assault. We'll talk about that also. We have a song pick of the week by a music icon and the queen of pop, maybe? No, he's not. But he's an amazing piano player, singer, songwriter. You'll know who he is. So with that, sit back and relax. I'm your host, John Hollywood, with our co-host, Amos Woolridge. With Woolridge and Nunn, sit back and relax, grab your favorite cocktail, and let's get going, because All You Need to Know Radio starts right now. Everybody, welcome to All You Need to Know Radio. I am your host, John Hollywood, with our co-host, Amos Woolridge. Let's talk about the 14 Americans that were killed in Afghanistan during two different bombs that went in, that went off today with suicide bombers is what we're hearing. Amos, what do you hear about all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a evolving story, and we obviously don't have all of the facts on the ground. But my understanding is that there have been several attacks by Taliban or Taliban-supporting elements on the front gate to the airport in Kabul, in the capital of Afghanistan, where the Americans and actually some of America's allies are working to try to evacuate both Americans and ambassadors and, American staff, but also certain translators and other people, Afghan individuals who gave aid and support to the American military during its war effort. So, again, we're still kind of, the facts on the ground are developing, but there appears to have been a major attack on American troops and American interests today at the Kabul Airport in Afghanistan.
Well, President Biden addressed the nation very emotional. And in statements of Biden attacks, we will hunt you down and make you pay where you stand. 12 U.S. members were killed, and 60 Afghans were also killed in both attacks. So we also have Copperhead with us, our special correspondent. Copperhead, what do you think of all this?
I think it's insane. We
America's known for World War II when we woke the sleeping giant at Pearl Harbor. It was our enemies attacking us with no provocation. And this is very much the same thing with America saying we are pulling out, we are leaving all of this. And if you give us any sort of problems as we're leaving, we will come back in turn. And sure enough, they attack us, which means that we're back into the fight. And they had every opportunity to let us leave. And if they had let us leave, it would have been easier for them and safer for them. But instead, they poked the dragon, and here we go.
Thing is that I don't think that the president is going to take this laying down. I think he is very emotionally, and he's pissed. He, you know, originally, let's all remind everybody that President Joe Biden did not make the original decision for Afghanistan for us to be leaving so quickly. This was made by the previous administration, and they're trying to rewrite history as they do in everything they fucked up. Excuse me, that just made it a rated R show. But I'm very angry about this because everybody is pointing the fingers at Biden and saying what a bad job he's doing, and that's not the case. Former president, twice impeached, disgraced, criminal, sexual predator, racist, homophobic, bivot, former Trump, is the one who set the guidelines, him and his worthless-ass secretary, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and that's why there's been no American casualties out of country since 2020. So what do you think, Almost? Who's to blame about this early withdrawal?
You're absolutely right to point the finger at the Trump administration for, they like to say, they right-wingers and war hawk type people like to say, we don't negotiate with terrorists. And that's exactly what they did. They negotiated with the Taliban. Trump and Pompeo signed a deal with the Taliban, and it was a bad deal. And so for, as you correctly identified, for right-wing propagandists and even kind of centrist media like CNN attempting to blame Biden for the timing and, you know, speed of the pullout, it's objectively untrue, and you should be upset. But I want to go back to just kind of point out that what Biden said not today but last week about his leaving Afghanistan was also correct, that, you know, this started 20 years ago. It didn't start under Biden. It didn't start under Trump, and it didn't start under Obama. I mean, it started under George W. Bush. So it was always going to be a catastrophe. Afghanistan, you know, the pullout from Afghanistan was always going to be a catastrophe due to the relatively amorphous goals of nation building and having the Afghan army stand up and fight. The Afghan National Army was never going to stand up and fight against the Taliban because they, for the most part, agree with the Taliban. They were abusing American military contracting to get a bunch of equipment and money. So, yes, we should squarely put the blame on Trump, but we also need to remember that, you know, the problems with this war and this 20-plus year war were around when I was a teenager. So it's not strictly accurate to just Donald Trump, and it's certainly inaccurate to lay all of the blame at the feet of Joe Biden and this administration.
Real quick, guys, we just got some breaking news. Sadly, we have lost one more soldier, making the number 13, just came over the AP wire, 13 military have died.
May he rest in peace.
Exactly. Everybody out there, any terrorists that are listening to this show, you better watch your step, because this country does not take lightly to you assassinating our armed forces. We will come through you in the dead of the night, like we did Osama bin Laden. I mean, this is BS. There is no reason for this. If you want to fight with each other, fight with each other. But when you come for America, you better be ready to fight the long fight, because we will come for you. Copperhead, what do you think?
I agree a lot with Amos. I will say it's a struggle a little bit with Biden, with him being there previously for eight years, and now this is his ninth year in office in the VP or presidential position, and there's been no exit strategy at all. That's kind of my biggest problem with some of that. You've been there for half the time that we've been in the war, and yet there's been no ready, let's go, let's get some things planned to pull out. Or if there has been, they've fallen apart in between his Obama days and now with his current days. Trump may have just messed everything up. I don't know the details.
Let's talk about that for a second. Over 100,000 Americans have been evacuated to date. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, how did 6,000 Afghani, how did 6,000 American troops get into Afghan within 24 hours notice? There was a plan. Was it perfect? No. It was never going to be perfect because it was always, like you said, going to be a catastrophe. But I really get infuriated when people say Biden didn't have a plan, because he did. And he's actually listening to his military people, unlike the former president did not.
I do want to respond briefly to Copperhead's statement, because I tend to agree. And, you know, long-term listeners of the show and you, Copperhead, individually, everyone knows that I don't support war. Like, I'm generally in favor of reducing the American war footprint over the globe and pulling back from some of our nation-building activities. That said, you know, I do think there are some legitimate criticisms, because based on that position, I think there are some real legitimate criticisms of the Obama administration, of which Biden was an integral part. And you're absolutely correct that we shouldn't completely let him off the hook, as he was the VP for 8 years and could have, you know, worked together with Obama and that administration and that Pentagon to develop a plan to pull out of Afghanistan and to actually pull out.
And then adapt it for now.
The issue, right, the issue as the issue as John Hollywood has identified, and I completely agree with him, is that the actual plan to pull out was put together by the Trump administration and then laid on the foot of Biden, and it's therefore incredibly hypocritical and factually inaccurate to say Biden, you know, was solely responsible for the pullout action and the way the catastrophe unfolded. So I think you're basically both right, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is that there was one dumbass Democrat and another dumbass Republican that in the middle of us trying to evacuate decided to take an American government plane and fly into Afghanistan, putting their lives in danger, also putting lives in danger of people we're trying to get out just so they could do what? An overseas
of
what we already know is going on? What do you think about that, Almost?
It's a PR stunt. I mean, you know, they're not the first politicians to do something stupid for PR. They won't be the last. It's clearly inappropriate. I mean, that runway is aviation, you know, is very challenging, and you want as many runways open to get as many people out as possible. So, you know, by taking up a runway and time and security for getting VIPs to that airport, it's clearly an inappropriate publicity stunt, but it's just a publicity stunt.
Copperhead, what do you think?
I agree. There's absolutely no reason why they should be over there. Not when we're 100% pulling out. I mean, it's just that simple. Mm-hmm. Do the math. We're pulling 100% out. What do they need to come back for? Did they leave their toothbrush?
Probably the answer to that is no, because they're not that brave
put together
to leave anything over there.
Because they
just came over
fly
the
on chartered planes that have toothbrushes.
Well, I'm just
exactly.
saying, like, you know,
Capitol
maybe they had to go and whitewash
Capitol
something.
Go ahead. This is
hold on. He's talking about a lawsuit. I know what you're talking about, John. Please proceed.
Yeah. Capitol police officers just sued Trump over Capitol riots, and they brought major receipts.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you know about this, Almost?
So from my perspective, and I read a portion of the complaint, but not every piece of evidence, and there is substantial evidence attached to the complaint. It's long. As far as I can tell, and there's been several suits filed, that this appears to be the most sweeping allegation civilly of a conspiracy to commit sedition that has been filed to date, and there appears to be some real legal and monetary heft behind the plaintiffs in this suit, which makes its likelihood of succeeding before a federal circuit court significantly increased. If nothing else, they may be entitled to discovery of some otherwise pretty hard to get information. And I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic that the results of this suit would be in injunctions as well as civil penalties, you know, if, having to pay a lot of money for the people who were responsible for causing the insurrection. And we're not talking about the rioters, as people have been saying. We're not talking about the individuals who, you know, walked through the Capitol that day. We're talking about the people who planned it. And as we've talked about on this show for several weeks now, in my opinion, one of the things that I'm the most concerned about with regards to the government's response to the Capitol, to the insurrection and the coup attempt, because there's multiple, you know, there's the coup attempt by Trump by attempting to influence the state attorneys general. There's the coup attempt by Trump by attempting to improperly influence the federal Department of Justice. And then after both of those failed, they planned a violent coup on January 6th. All three of them failed, but calling just one of them a coup attempt is inaccurate, and there was a clear plan, okay? And so my perspective is that from a legal perspective, it's incredibly important that the people who were conspirators, who were part of that planning, are held to legal and criminal legal as well as civil legal account. I think this lawsuit has the best chance of holding them to civil legal account. Another thing that's kind of tangentially related, which in my eyes is a positive development for that accountability that I think is incredibly important that we've talked about for about a month on this show, is that the House Select Committee on the January 6th insurrection issued a very broad, sweeping set of subpoenas and demands for documents to a wide variety of people in and around the Trump White House, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, Roger Stone, and, you know, several other of the kind of well-known and not so well-known players, received sweeping document requests from a congressional committee with subpoena power. So, you know, both of those developments that I think happened yesterday and today are putting a lot of civil and criminal legal pressure on the people who actually planned the coup attempt. And I'm heartened. I mean, the results of the investigation and the lawsuit remain to be seen. But I'm heartened that it appears that they're actually taking the investigation seriously, which is, I was really afraid they weren't, but they appear to be doing so.
And Copperhead, what do you think? 30 seconds.
Well, like you said, as with discovery, we're going to get more and more clues to what was happening precisely on that day and the days leading up to it. And the more information that's given in, the more honesty that's given out to it, the more clarity it gets to it, the more we're going to be able to peg the people who were at fault at this and give it to the American people clearly as one concise thought. So that, as long as it doesn't get lost in the rhetoric, I'm all for this. Let's go ahead and get this out there so the honesty can be out there when we can prove that this won't happen again.
And that's what's really important, is that people have to pay the price. People have to be held accountable, like Amos has been saying over and over, so that no one even thinks once, let alone twice, of doing something like this ever, ever again.
And then trying to whitewash it.
Exactly. Oh, that their Capitol Police were hugging and kissing everybody. That's just a blatant lie from the former president. So,
they're tourists.
Read this real
quick.
The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack of the U.S. Capitol demands records Wednesday of communications related to the assault among federal officials and a host of Trump staffers and allies, including some family members, and letters to the 8 federal agencies, including the Department of Justice, the Justice and Defense Departments, the FBI, and the National Counterterrorism Center. Representative Benny Thompson, a Democrat myth, the chairman of the bipartisan committee, requested a trove of specific documents of communications that they believe were in cohorts and basically outlines the way the January 6th, 2021 insurrection would come down. It's kind of scary, man.
Well, but it's incredibly
right,
scary, but as I said, it's heartening, you know, that it appears, as we've been talking about for a month or so, it's incredibly important that these people are held to account for America's standing in the world, for the future of our democracy. I mean, it's not hyperbolic to say that holding these people accountable could be the difference between whether or not we have free and fair elections in this country and peaceful transitions of power. I mean, it really could be the difference. It's not a hyperbole to say that. So, you know, getting the real information, whether in a civil lawsuit or as a result of a congressional committee, it sounds like it's going to happen, or at least we're trying to make it. The powers that be are trying to make it happen. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be apparently the former president threw a tantrum again and tried to claim executive privilege, even though he's no longer the executive, about these records. You know, clearly there's something
there. Only Joe
Biden
can do that. Let's be honest. Only Joe Biden can claim privilege.
Because he's no longer the executive. If Trump were the executive, there may be some validity to the claim. But he's no longer the executive.
And just to emphasize that point a little bit, if the only reason he would be calling executive permission is to cover up, hide, or throw shade on something that the American people need to know. If he's guilty, then that's why he's climbing executive privilege. If he was innocent, he would gladly give those forms up and rub it in everybody's faces.
I tend to agree with that analysis. I do think that it's in this particular case, and Copperhead, you're almost certainly correct that he has something real to hide. I do think that one should generally be wary of assuming that somebody who claims a legal privilege has something to hide. I think in this case, he probably does have something very real to hide, but, you know, it is inappropriate to just assume that because somebody claims a privilege that it should
be
real. I'm just warning you.
This is Donald John Trump that we're talking about, the guy who
he's almost certainly really guilty. I agree with you, Mr. Hollywood. You are right.
He's saying as a rule.
Yeah.
I mean, but as a rule, I agree with you on any other human being that walks this planet. But when you put the name Donald John Trump in it, he is a pathological liar.
Right. I agree.
Well, he lives in his own fantasy world, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what a pathological liar does, almost?
I mean, I'm not like a doctor, but I think the definition of pathological means you can't stop lying. Like, you just lie over and over. Which,
well,
from my perspective, that's exactly what he does. He lies so frequently that it seems to me that he even believes some of it.
Can we speak?
Well, let's
move
on to a story that is really great news, and that is the FDA officially approves the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19 people. And let me tell you something. It's been met with a lot of hate from Texas and Florida. Shame on the Texas Attorney General, Greg Abbott, or governor. No, he's the governor. He's the governor. Excuse me. The governor in Florida and the governor in Texas. Now, the County Judge Clay Jenkins had a win in court with his temporary injunction. Do you know anything about that, almost?
I do. I don't know all of the details of the case, but I'm aware that Clay Jenkins, and it's confusing, especially if you're not from Texas, but you have some legal understanding. In Texas, the chief executive of the county is called the county judge. So he's like the mayor of the county, but he's called the county judge. He's not actually a judge, and it's confusing. So county judge, chief executive, Clay Jenkins issued a mask mandate for indoor areas in Dallas County and issued I'm not 100% certain. He definitely issued a mask mandate for certain indoor areas in Dallas County, and that was contrary to an executive order issued by Greg Abbott that said that local governments cannot issue mask mandates. And local Dallas County elected district judge, Democrat named Tanya Parker, wonderful judge who I've appeared before, she agreed with Clay Jenkins that it was an abuse of power, essentially, for Abbott to take that local authority away from the local government. So she has enjoined or stayed enforcement of the anti-mask mandate executive order, is my understanding of the legal situation.
So what does it mean that all the schools are basically ignoring the executive order and that Greg Abbott and DeSantis still doesn't get it? By the way, there was a poll taken that should Ron DeSantis run in 2024, would he be victorious? 6 in 10 Florida voters said they would not like to see the state Republican governor become a presidential candidate. Over 35% said they would not vote for him. So it kind of sounds like he's ass out there.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, and clearly the Texas government and the Florida government is having an internal fight where the local school boards and mayors and county judges want to try to protect their citizens. You know, their primary goal is public health and protection. And regardless of the propaganda that is spread by certain right-wing media, it's clear scientifically that wearing a mask indoors does, in fact, reduce the likelihood of the spread of COVID-19. And so, you know, the mask mandates arise as a result of public health necessity or public health policy. And Abbott and DeSantis and Noam from South Dakota and certain other Republican governors and Republican, you know, leaning pundits and things like that, they don't actually have the public health interests of the citizens in mind. It's not about protection against COVID-19 or whether or not masks are good or bad. It's about owning liberals and keeping a firm, you know, Republican grip over certain state governments and making people wish, you know, showing supplication to Donald Trump's base. Like, they're doing it to try to get elected. They're not doing it for good public policy reasons. They're doing it to try to get elected. And it's disgusting. I mean, we're in a literal 100-year pandemic that it happens once every 100 years. It's totally reasonable for the government to put certain restrictions to try to protect public health. It's not crazy. And these Republicans I'm ranting because I'm very upset about it.
You have to admit, though, they are doing something about it because they are getting vaccinated. They are wearing their masks. They are doing their social distancing, and they're just telling their people not to because that's what their people want to hear. So
they're lying to their people.
Look at your leaders,
just like Republicans do, right?
But I'm telling you, Republicans, look at your leaders and see who's getting masked, see who's getting vaccinated, see who's getting these things that they're telling you not to do, and then ask yourself, why are they doing it? It's because it's in their best interest, therefore it should be in your best interest also.
Hey, let's do a
section
identification real quick, guys. This is All You Need to Know Radio, heard exclusively on Blog Talk Radio, live every Thursday night from American Wealth Group USA Studios. This is your host, John Hollywood. We also have your co-host, Amos Woolworth with Warge and Nunn, and we have special correspondent Copperhead with us. Right now we're talking about COVID-19 and passing of the officially of the FDA of the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19. Now remember, this vaccine is not, and the Republicans keep twisting this and it's so confusing to people, and I understand, but understand this vaccine is not to stop you from getting COVID-19. It is stopping you from dying from the disease. It is stopping you from possibly going to the hospital. the today, if you go to the hospital and you are unvaccinated, you have a 95% chance of dying in the hospital that day. So everybody out there needs to wake up. There are all five banks have already, the major five banks are in requirement of proof of vaccination. California,
military.
New York, and it's coming to Texas really quick. Everybody out there, you need to quit. You need to get vaccinated and quit playing games with your life.
Biden has also required all of the U.S. military to go ahead and get vaccinated.
And all
and
federal employees and contractors.
Is that right? There's 800,000 people.
I'm so pleased about it, and I think that it's legally the constitutional. I think he's allowed to do it. I think he has the authority. I also think it's policy perspective correct. Like, it's the smart thing to do. It's a shame that we have to coerce people with, you know, a threat of a loss of a job or something to do the obvious easy thing that takes 1 second. I mean, it takes literally like 10 seconds to get the vaccine. And it's, well, how often do you get free healthcare in America? It's free.
Right.
So, you know, it seems like it shouldn't be that hard to convince people to get a life-saving free vaccine. But apparently, well, I say apparently, but it is very hard to convince people because of propaganda and an agenda by certain powers that be in the right wing and their pundits and their financiers that want Joe Biden to fail and don't care about the public health of Americans. So, you know, we have this hesitancy built in, and if we have to shun them from polite society and fine them and coerce them with the threat of losing their jobs in order to actually get vaccinated so we can move on from this 100-year plague, go for it. I'm happy. Good policy. Do it.
Copperhead, what do you think?
I have a very dark silver lining about all of this, because if you keep telling Republicans not to get vaccinated, and it's statistically proven that more people are dying that don't have the vaccine than that do, we're going to have a different sway on especially some of these states like Texas, who have been so close to the red-blue line that we've gone back and forth a little bit. We're definitely
going to be Florida, David. How about Florida, Copperhead? All those old folks.
I'm just saying there's a couple of few reasons that, you know, if they don't want to tell their people to get vaccinated and their people are stupid enough to listen to it, just take off the warning labels. Just take off the warning labels, let the stupid ones kill themselves. It's just – that's all I can say about that. We've given them the facts.
I wanted to play some the audio of this guy from CNN talking to Trump supporters about being vaccinated. And this one old lady actually said this, I kid you not, and I couldn't get the video up in time for the show, but she said, I believe this is God's way of separating the sheep from the goats.
I'm all for it.
And he said, which are you? She said, well, I'm certainly not a sheep, so I'm a goat. And he's like,
wait.
So you're a goat? And I'm like, does this woman realize what she's admitting on national television?
Right.
Just the hypocrisy and the stupidness of these people. It's mind-boggling. What do you think, Almost?
Well, I mean, I hear you, and obviously I haven't heard that one woman statement. There's a lot of idiots, and, you know, to be perfectly fair, there's a lot of idiots on the left wing as well. But I think that, you know, on the individual basis, but I think broadly it's a good point that it's basically Republicans who are causing this problem with vaccine hesitancy. And, you know, all of a sudden the hospitals in Texas and Mississippi and Florida are overwhelmed with patients again when we have a free, safe, cheap, and effective vaccine. It's not Democrats that are causing this surge. So, I mean, I struggle to – I have no sympathy. I try to be an empathetic person, but – I have sympathy for those people. Then the next kind of point I want to – right, it's hard to because they really are being dumb. But then there's another kind of part of that, which it's kind of harder to articulate, but I think it's interesting and it could be important, and it's certainly relevant. But the idea that people would choose to believe false news about public health because of a perceived political issue, it's so hard to overcome that propaganda, and the Democrats are trying hard, but if the people who are brainwashed won't belong in polite society, then both governments and corporations, which are starting to do it, should make it hard for them to exist in polite society, requiring proof of vaccination prior to, for example, going into Walmart. I don't think Walmart's about to do that, but if it did, it would incentivize individuals who are not vaccinated but like to go to Walmart to get vaccinated. And, you know, airlines have done it a little bit. Cruise ships have done it a little bit. My company, tiny little law firm, has done it. So, you know, there is a way that we can use corporate power to shun these people out of polite society, which is where they belong if they're going to refuse to get vaccinated at this point.
Well, Delta Airlines is doing one step further, and they're not eliminating people or telling them they can't go to work, but they're hitting them in their pocketbook by telling them, listen, if you are unvaccinated, you will have to be tested every day. You will definitely have to wear a mask, and we will charge you a $200 upcharge on your health insurance. What do you think of that?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, and I totally support that. I mean, it's Delta using its power. They have corporate power over their employees, and it's Delta appropriately using its corporate power to shun its unvaccinated employees out of polite society. And, you know, if they don't want to have those consequences, they can get vaccinated. It's free. It's cheap. It takes about 10 minutes.
Like you said, free health care from the government. Where do you get that ever? You know, the five banks are also considering shutting down the inside, and they're only doing business with customers online by being able to take pictures of your deposits or direct deposits they're encouraging. Or the other thing is just doing things through the drive-thru. Where Chase was Bank of America was closing down their drive-thrus. Now other banks are deciding to close down the insides to stop the possible contact with their customers to their staff. What do you think about that, Comrade?
Right. Well, I mean, it's obvious. Anytime you have these little, what they're called, anchor points where multiple people pass through, whether there's a grocery store or a gas station or, in this case, a bank, yes, you're going to have multiple contacts touching each other that wouldn't normally touch each other. So limiting or destroying that hub and bringing it down to electronic communications and to online deposits, that's going to be an asset of major business taking a step towards limiting those contacts of those people that are infected. The other part of that is stadiums and other entertainment values are requiring vaccine cards as you walk into the stadiums, which means that these big open forums or open stadiums, or even closed stadiums, are now telling you you can't participate with the entertainment world if you're going to cause problems with this. And the fact is that once again, you look at your leaders, look at your president, look at your former president, and see what they're saying. They're saying now vaccine, they wear the mask, they took the vaccine, they had their families take the vaccine. There's a reason they did that. So even if they're telling you not to do it now, today they're telling you not to do it now, ask them if they've gotten vaccinated. Ask them if they had their family vaccinated. Ask them how long they've had the vaccine.
Well, now, Donald Trump did a rally in Alabama last Saturday night, and when he brought up the vaccine and said, you know, as far as the vaccine, I understand your freedom, but I think you should do the vaccine. I'm for the vaccine. I'm the one that put it all together, and they told me 3 to 5 years, and I did it in 9 months. The crowd booed him.
Yep.
So his people were turning their backs on him and leaving. What do you think, Almost?
Dude, his own lies.
Very, very interesting, isn't it? They, you know, they can't control the monster. And the propaganda is powerful. The individuals who are victims of the brainwashing are so thoroughly brainwashed that even when their leader, the cult leader, when he does the about face, you know, they say, oh, someone must have got to him. That's not what he really believes. Or they say, oh, he's a sellout. Now he's no longer one of us, even though I don't think that's really what's going on. But I do think what's going on is that it's become a matter of faith rather than a matter of reason. It's a matter of faith for a lot of these folks, that these brainwashed folks, that if you're a good, solid, Trump-voting American Republican, you don't take the vaccine because it's dangerous, and that's our political position. And to hear their leader about face on that, it almost shatters their worldview, where it's like, this is the guy who we said is our God Emperor, and now he's telling us different from what he told us before? Does that mean he was wrong before when he called COVID a hoax? Does that mean he was wrong before when he encouraged people not to get the vaccine? I understand why they booed him, but I found it to be very, very interesting.
And Copperhead, what do you think?
I think this is one of those times that he's trying something out, and in the next rally he'll retract it, and he'll find out what works better for his people and what they want to hear. It's a really weird echo chamber, because he'll say something, and if it works, it's repeated. And if he says something and it falls flat, then he doesn't repeat it ever again. And if they start pushing, like, lock her up or whatever it is that they're chanting this week, he repeats that for them. So he amplifies their sound, and he repeats what they applaud on, and then anything that falls flat is retracted or stepped back the next rally. So I'll be surprised if he stays twice in a row.
Can I respond to that? Because I completely agree, and I think it's a very interesting point about Donald Trump. I think that, Donald Trump, as we all know and as everybody is very well aware, is not a quote-unquote normal politician. But something that he does that Copperhead has hit the nail on the head about is he kind of acts almost like a stand-up comedian testing out material. And
he's not a strong leader. He's a strong listener.
Right, and he's also, if there's anything that he's definitely got a real skill at, it's manipulating people and telling them what they want to hear.
Right.
And so, you know, he because he doesn't have a strong, you know, stance on policy, he doesn't really stand for anything other than, you know, enriching himself. Doesn't really have a strong stance on policy, his policy can shift. It shifts on a dime. Don't get the vaccine? Actually, you probably should get the vaccine. That's a 180-degree shift. And you know, I'm okay with a politician shifting a position based on facts or based on, you know, new information, but that's not what's going on. He's doing it based on pressure and based on what he thinks he needs to say. It's not because of, like, a fundamentally held belief. So it's this weird thing that he does where he tests out material in a rally or in a speech or in a statement, and if it does well, as Copperhead said, if the crowd chants back at him, lock him up, he'll say it in every speech from here on out. You know, but if it falls flat, he won't use the joke again. I mean, it's to continue the stand-up comedian line. He's testing out material, and that material would be, you guys maybe should get the vaccine now. It came back at him hard, and I actually tend to agree with Copperhead that he's not going to say that again. Probably.
All right, guys, so let's do station identification. This is All You Need to Know Radio on Blog Talk Radio, heard every Thursday night exclusively on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. and the American Wealth Group USA, high above downtown Dallas studios. And I'm your host, John Hollywood, with our co-host, Almost Woolward. Say hello to everybody, Almost.
Hello, hello.
And then we have our special correspondent, Copperhead. Say hello to everybody, Copperhead.
Hello to everybody, Copperhead.
All right, guys. So we have a caller calling in. Let's take this call. Hello, caller. Your last four of your cell phone number is 1693. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Yeah, Thomas. How are you guys doing tonight? So you're all in Dallas?
We are.
Yes, sir.
Where are you, Thomas?
Okay. Far out, man. So you guys have been there all your lives? All of you, you moved there recently or been there? How's Dallas, man? I'm in Hawaii, but I'm thinking of moving out of here. I'm just kind of getting the island fever in a sense, but not really. But I just feel like I need more space. You know what I mean?
Dallas is great for making money, but I'd stay in Hawaii if I was you, sir.
Oh, really?
I mean, look, I don't know anything about you except that you live in Hawaii, but I am jealous anyway.
All right, so Thomas, what are you calling about today? How'd you find us?
Yeah, no, I go on Blog Talk. I listen to different ones, you know, to see what people are thinking and trying to convey out to this public, you know. So I listen to all of them out there. I've listened to the new Black Panthers. I've listened to National Socialist Movement. I've listened to Liberal Dan. I've listened to,
okay.
You know, I go on and on. Anyway, so I just happened to put on and you guys
did our the title of our show catch your attention, or what caught your attention about our show?
Politics. So I go to Politics Live is what I do. When I go into Blog Talk Radio, I go live and then politics, and then it brings me in. And there's usually only a handful.
Very good.
On at a given time.
So what's a Hawaii's thought on what we're saying today?
Oh, yeah. So, I got a whole new view and perspective on everything. It's pretty cool, man. I love it, man. I really feel like I'm at where what's really happening. Unfortunately, most people won't join me because they'll think it's a little far-fetched. But right now, I'm not leaving my thought about this. I believe I'm spot on. You guys will probably go, okay, dude, whatever you say. But
what do you agree with, and what is it that you're disagreeing with? What's far-fetched on this?
Well, I'm agreeing with little digital pieces of information that I've obtained in the last just actually probably say 3-4 weeks. right now at this point, I don't think anything that we see and hear is really what's the truth. You know, it's just a big
buddy, listening to our show, you're thinking what we're talking. We're telling the truth. We're being honest with America and everybody around the world as we broadcast
what I mean
that
is,
way.
Yeah, if you throw on the TV or you listen to what they're trying to tell you on the internet, you know, as being the news, and that you should, you know, it's all really nonsense. I'm at this point, so I'm free because of it. So because this is how I got to this point, real quick. Okay, I never believed in alien ships and aliens because I never saw one, right? I'm one of these people that I'm pretty hard to convince of something. Unless I see something and can fairly much say, okay, yeah, that's right, that's true. That's
there
true.
Needs to be evidence.
So what I saw, and I'm sure you guys saw it, was these U.S. fighter jets that spotted these, they called them Tic Tacs because of their oblong shape. One woman in 2004, a woman aircraft pilot, saw one in 2004. She's now retired. She's recently been on the news in Reuters. And how do you pronounce it? Reuters? Reuters.
Reuters.
News, right? Yeah, Reuters.
Yeah, Reuters.
So she was on there recently, like up to 2019, in which she was talking about it, and she was waiting for the outcome of what they came up with as what it was. From her 2004 sighting, because she recently saw the 2016 sighting. She saw the 2016
sighting. Hey, Thomas, well, I'm very excited what you're saying.
Exactly.
What does this have to do with what we're talking about on our show right now? We've got only about a minute to talk with you.
Oh,
so
really?
Can you go on?
So she goes, yeah, that's exactly what I saw. Right? Okay, and then I recently saw a program that talked about, so I assume that now that these are probably alien crafts because we know that we don't have these, but.
Yes, sir. Hey, Thomas, thanks so much for calling in. All right, so that's not at all what we're talking about, guys. So let's change subjects real quick. Let's go to Britney Spears.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean,
whether or not
it's not what we were talking about, and we only want to talk about
whether or not aliens exist is not the topic.
they may or may not exist,
but it's irrelevant.
So, Almost, you ready for your, you want to do? We're talking about the porn actor Ron Jeremy, indicted and dies. I was wrong about the number of charges. It is 30 mm-hmm. counts of sexual assault involving 21 women and girls across more than two decades, authorities say. Jeremy is 68 years old, and he has now been charged, and his case is headed to the grand jury. What do you think about that?
Well, I have no idea what the evidence is. Obviously, 38 counts sounds to me like the prosecutor has something. There is a reason why we have a presumption of innocence in the United States, and we should not jump to conclusions. That said, 38 counts of the same type of conduct, and given what we know about, you know, Jeremy's proclivities as a porn star, it wouldn't shock me if he is in fact guilty, but I do want to caution the listeners that he does have a presumption of innocence for a reason, and we don't know what all of the evidence
is. Absolutely, and let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're having rough sex, which a lot of his porns are rough sex, can he be indicted on that when that's acting, basically?
I'm not a criminal law expert, but I believe that if there was consent, the answer is no.
Copperhead, what do you think?
I think it's very interesting to see somebody that we've seen on, like, MTV's Real World kind of indicted on some of this, because we kind of know at least that reality TV show personification of him and his reputation. So I wouldn't be surprised, but like it Almost says, we have to presume he's innocent until we see the evidence laid out and we can see what the prosecution has to say.
Okay, Almost. So that's exactly right. So we'll keep watch on this story, and you heard it first from All You Need to Know Radio. Once again, you're listening to All You Need to Know Radio, broadcasting in America and around the world. This is a commercial-free show, if you haven't noticed yet. We have about 7 minutes left. Almost, do you want to stay on for the Madonna and Tupac Shakur letter, or
With sincere respect, I think I'd like to talk about politics for a minute or two, and then let you guys talk about the entertainment news. So
absolutely, let's do it.
Thank you. So as we've discussed earlier on this show and on a couple of shows previous to this, the coup attempt by Donald Trump and his cronies was very real and had multiple parts. It's very important that the conspirators, the people who planned the coup attempt, including Donald Trump personally, but also a bunch of his other people, his cronies, he didn't do it alone, are held to account. It appears that accountability is occurring at least somewhat, but if you care about good governance, and you should, if you care about good governance, you care about good policy that helps the American people, you care about the rule of law and the peaceful transition of power in a democracy, you need to support the Democratic Party, because it is the Democrats who are the ones who are trying to uncover the truth about what happened in this coup attempt. The Republican Party is an enemy of the democracy and an enemy of the people in its current form right this second. They have literal terrorists in their congressional delegation and are refusing to do anything about it. Look at Mo Brooks and the radio silence from his Republican comments at colleagues after he made comments in support of the terrorist attacker in front of the Library of Congress 2 weeks ago. These people are dangerous. You need to register to vote in your jurisdiction, vote in every single election, straight ticket Democrat all the way for the rest of your life. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you to Copperhead and to John Hollywood for the platform and the ability to talk about these important issues. Love you all. Good night.
All right, Almost. That's Almost Wars with Wars to None. Thank you so much for being a part of our amazing lineup for our audience.
Thank you, Almost.
He brings such an incredible education to our show, which we very, very much love. So, curve. Well, that is the amazing Madonna. Madonna may have been living for love then, but for 20 years, she's been trying to hide this very intimate letter between her and Paris rapper Tupac Shakur. An apology letter to Madonna is finally headed to the auction. If you're willing to put out $100,000, you can get this original letter. So 2 years ago, Madonna attempted to sell to stop the celebrity sale and does not obligate my right to maintain my privacy, and appears a court overturned that injunction last month that Madonna received years back. This three-page letter dated January 15, 1995, is a year and a change before Tupac Shakur was fatally shot. He apologized to the singer for not being the kind of friend I know I am capable of being. Both of these artists dated briefly in the 90s, though they kept it secret. In 2015, Madonna said that Shakur had rivaled her up before a shocking 1994 appearance on David Letterman, so she was feeling very gangster, in her words, when she said the F word 13 times live on air, when David Letterman had to remind her, you do realize this is a live broadcast. And Madonna once again said, I don't give a F. And I guess I've already made this in our show, so I'll say, I don't give a fuck, is what she said. She said the word fuck 13 times live on air. This paints a really interesting picture with Madonna, because back in the day, this would have hurt Madonna's career, and now she's a billionaire and sitting on top of the planet, not just the United States, the very planet. She is the most known woman on the planet Earth. She's worth $1 billion. She doesn't care what people think, but that wasn't the case in 2015. What do you think, Copperhead?
I would be interested, because with so many different music crossovers, I mean, we've had rap artists singing with country artists, we've had pop music singing with hard grunge rockers, we've had Linkin Park with Jay-Z. I mean, like, there's all sorts of different mashups that have worked really well, especially with different fans from different genres. And having some sort of collaboration with Madonna and Tupac while they were dating would have been sensational. I mean, they're both amazing artists in their own rights, and definitely at the top of their games even then. And Madonna, if nothing else, is the queen of chameleon. She can adapt and rearrange and put her finger on the pulse of what's hot. So her having some of those Tupac Shakur lines in the middle of one of her songs or vice versa, that could have been totally totes. We never know, because she kind of kept it quiet. But I don't think she would have been out of the game just because they became a powerhouse couple.
All right, so we're out of time, Copperhead, so we're going to skip our song pick of the week. We'll move it to next week. Here is your two-minute warning.
No, I think it's very, very important, you guys, open your eyes. You can listen all you want to everybody who's speaking, but you look at their actions. You know the true form of anybody by what they do, not what they say. So if they are getting vaccinated and they're getting their families vaccinated and they're telling you not to get vaccinated, what makes you different than their own family? What makes you think that it's not safe to send your kids to school with masks and to help prevent the spread of this COVID disease when now children are dying from this disease? It's no longer just impacting adults. It's definitely impacting kids too. And those hubs that we were talking about before, where people come together and spread the disease, schools are going to be a major one of those. So we need to do what we can as individuals and as communities to come together and start wearing masks, practice social distance, to wash your hands, to get
vaccinated. That's the number one thing you can possibly do. So good luck out there. Pay attention and get vaccinated.
Thank you so much, Copperhead.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. I just want to say very simply, the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19 has been approved by the FDA. Everybody said that's all you needed. So with that, go get vaccinated. Keep preaching for the stars, and don't let anyone tell you who to love, how to love, or how to make your dreams come true. Good night, live from American Wealth Group USA Studios in Dallas, Texas.
Part of before.